True Creek Podcast, episode 10.
Oh, boy.
So today, I'm with my older sister. What's up, Sarah?
How's it going? I'm so excited to be here.
And when I asked her what she wanted to talk about, she said space. And so I was taken back by that at first. So I was like, oh, you want to talk about space? Okay.
Well, you know, I'm kind of a deep thinker. Mm-hmm. I'm in my head a lot. And I'm a little bit nervous actually talking about this because there's so much that we don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of this is just going to be kind of talking about the possibilities of what's out there and why it's so amazing that God created all this. Yeah. And how small we are compared to it. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sarah, you are actually the last person in the family circle that needed to be on because mom, she just doesn't want to be on.
She doesn't want to be on. Yeah.
Which is fine. So you and I got close through doing music.
We did.
We still kind of hate each other, but no.
No. We did not get along when we lived in the same house.
No. Because Sarah tried to cut my hair as a little kid. Like, she would hold me down. And then with
what
scissors.
What are you talking about?
This was in the days where I had Justin Bieber hair. And so now I'm calling her out in front of everybody.
I don't remember that, but it was probably a joke because you cared so much about your hair.
She held me down with scissors, guys.
You were just a little, like, punk.
And yeah, and then I grew and she couldn't do
it. I went away to college. And then I think, like, every time I'd come back from college, maybe we got a little bit closer because you started getting into music and mm-hmm. I already liked to sing behind the scenes, so
yeah.
We
in the car.
Yeah.
Well, you did some singing at our original church. I
sang in the church band,
and then you sang at coffee bars. So yeah, I think music has definitely been a connection area for my sister and I, so that's been cool for sure.
Yeah, and I think like a month ago when I was home, we were jamming out in the kitchen for like an hour or two trying to figure out a song.
And we'll do some covers on YouTube one day eventually.
Mm-hmm. Now that you got all this new fancy equipment.
Yeah, we got the audio equipment for it, so we can do it. So tell the listeners what you are currently doing, what you're up to, where you're working, where you're living, all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I live in Arlington, just outside of DC. So that's probably why I am the last family member to be on here, because it was harder to come down here. And but now, since we're stranded at home doing nothing, I've been down here at least once a week.
Yeah.
So it was pretty easy to set up.
Yep. You've already been in the house and you're the
exactly
one exception from the outside world.
And we've got Frankie here today too. She's my standard poodle.
Yep.
So if you hear anything going on in the background,
that's Frankie.
I just moved to an apartment that is right next to a dog park. So she was loving it before we got, you know, locked down.
And so the dog park there is not even open.
Nope.
Wow.
I know. Yep. People are still walking around a lot on the sidewalks, though, and some are wearing masks. Others, you know,
are just like, whatever. I'm outside.
Yeah.
I noticed that at the park that I work at, too. A lot of people are wearing masks, but then some of them are just like, they'll have a mask around their neck, and then they just won't even wear it.
Yeah, you can't, because a lot of people outside right now are running or walking, doing some exercise, and you can't wear a mask and do that. That's
even the people that think they can. You look at them 10 minutes later and the mask is off.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't. They tried.
Yeah. They came outside with good intentions.
Yeah.
So what are you doing currently? Did you already say that?
No, I'm working for a government contractor. So the government puts out requests for proposals. Mm-hmm. And ours is IT work, cybersecurity work, stuff like that. So whenever they need somebody to come in for, say, like Department of Transportation, come in and transfer all of their information securely over to a different server or something like that, they ask us to come in and do that for them.
Cool.
So me personally, I work for headquarters, and I do a little bit of everything. I do some proposal graphics. I'm executive assistant. I do events. So I'm kind of all over the place. But I love it so far. I'm learning a lot.
Did you do you find that what you majored in translate to what you're doing now?
Not, I mean, a little bit, because I am doing proposal graphics, but, and I went to school for graphic design. It was fun for a little while until you got out into the real world, and I realized that it's just clients pretty much telling you what exactly what they want.
Yeah.
It's not creative in any way. But so, and doing like proposal graphics, at least I can design everything myself. And it's going to be so distracting. Look at, she's staring.
Frankie is staring straight at the door right now.
She's an inch away from the door.
Frankie, come here. What's up? Lay down. Lay down.
She gets so excited to come and visit.
Yeah, she does. Because we have our little puppy Sienna here now.
Yep.
And who's a standard poodle.
It's a nice break from the big city.
Yeah.
Coming and running around. She loves to chase the four-wheeler in the backyard.
This is the country here.
She's a country dog for sure.
Yeah.
And I like it too, visiting. It's too quiet to live here.
No, I love it. That's why that's where we got the name from and everything, because it's just, we have that creek down there.
Yes.
It's just nice and quiet. It's peaceful.
Beautiful.
I was down there last week just sitting in the hammock.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
You came down. Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, nice setup, Steven.
I dug in some hammock posts so I can hook from another tree to a hammock post, and it worked out really well. So, yeah. I want to kind of go into the story that you were telling me a few weeks ago. And so it's not a story. I mean, it actually happened. But you said that this is what affected you the most in your faith journey. Go into that.
Yeah. It actually wasn't that long ago. I want to say it was probably a year ago now. I started getting into listening to Christian podcasts, and it was Passion City DC podcast that I found, and Ben Stewart's message on this particular podcast just kind of changed everything for me. So let me give you a little bit of background on it. The title of it was actually "This Changes Everything," and it did. But basically, he was doing a message about how incredible it is that God can love us so much. We are just, you know, how big the universe is, how big God is, and he still cares about each and every one of us, so much so that he gave his only son who sacrificed his life for us. That's huge. But I always had a hard time, you know, putting that in perspective. It's like, that happened so long ago. Okay, this person,
ancient book,
yeah,
whatever.
This guy cares about us. Okay. Yeah, I believe it, but it was hard to connect that. So he told this story about a couple in a park. They were going on a picnic or whatever. I'm going to try and tell this as best as I can. I'm probably going to butcher it. He said they're on a picnic in a park. They had everything set up. Then it started raining, so they were kind of packing up. And then it turned into hail, so they started running. And all of a sudden, the hail turned into softball-sized hail. And they realized that they weren't going to make it to shelter in time. So they kind of, you know, they were on the ground blocking themselves. And the guy covered his girlfriend or wife, fiance, whatever it was at the time. And she said she could feel his body shaking every time the hail hit him. And then she heard one crack as it hit his head. And as he was falling down, he made sure to fall on top of her, you know, so she wouldn't suffer any of that pain. And then he talks about, like, ladies, like, how would you feel if your man did that? Seeing him in the hospital after it was over, you would be so thankful. You would want to do anything to repay him. And then he said, that's what Jesus did for us. And I remember just sitting there. I think I was in my bathroom getting ready at the time, listening to podcasts like I do in the morning. And I out loud, I said, wow. And I teared up a little bit. Even like trying to retell the story is kind of emotional because it just really, and at that minute I was like, wow, I want to do right by God.
I want more of that.
Yeah, before it was kind of like, oh, we're supposed to do this, and the Bible says, you know, we should do this. This is right, this is wrong. But it's incredible once that veil lifts and you want to do those things, mm-hmm. not because it says yeah. they're right, but because.
And yeah, you've always had the belief, like, because we've always talked about it, and like, especially when it's like me, you, Thomas, we're all chilling in the hot tub or whatever.
Best conversations.
Yeah, exactly. That's when the good conversations come out. And so you've always had that like deep thought process of like, God is definitely real, mm-hmm. but I don't know how to like think about it. I need to follow it or how I follow it. And so I think that podcast definitely, yeah, I saw a change in you.
Yeah, it is crazy to even explain to people because, right, we've gone to church our whole lives. We've been, I mean, our parents, even when we're away, they would do sermons with us. But it's different when you actually feel that relationship with God change. And yeah, it was amazing when that happened. It always made it a little easier to know that God was real because, mm-hmm. I mean...
Yeah.
Look at the world. Look at yeah. the universe.
Yeah. And even no matter how much I think that I know, I constantly am having to suck pride because I'm like, oh man, I know nothing. I constantly learn right. new things. And I'm like, but like some people in the Christian community don't like to think outside the box, or they want to just stay in scripture and be all comfortable in their bubble. But it's like, that is not.
I've watched too many cult documentaries to not, you know, think about the bigger picture.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that reminds, because all these other religions and faiths, I feel like, have so many rules. You have to do this and you have to do that. And I was reading the other day in Romans, you know, people are saved not by what they do, but by faith in what Christ has done for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you have to go out and do this and you have to, you know, yeah. all these strict rules. It's no, God has already, or Jesus has died for you. So you yeah. don't have to do those things. The yeah. faith, your faith that Jesus has done that for you.
Yeah. It gets rid of the Levitical laws and crazy things that we used to be under. Right. That Romans verse is key, because then once you have faith, real, genuine faith, all the other stuff just comes with it. You yes. want to do things for other people. You want to do things. It's not you have to, mm-hmm. but.
And that's what I didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, before it was kind of, it was a chore to yeah. read the Bible or go to church. And now it's, I want to do all these things.
Yeah. Yeah. And even still, sometimes it won't be super convenient. You're just like, oh man, do I want to like go Wednesday night and help out high schoolers? Like, I kind of mm-hmm. just want to sleep and just go to bed when I get home from work. But it's like, man, but those times that I do go are the best times ever. I have such good times with them.
Yeah. And so, no, it's for sure still a struggle. It's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't just become simple, but.
Just like. Yeah.
And like so. I said, this kind of all happened just a year ago. So it's been a slow process, but I feel like right when I was about to dive in and get so excited and find a church that I really wanted to get involved in, you know, this lockdown happened.
Yep.
And it's frustrating, but I know it was probably a good thing, because now I've been able to sit down and dive deeper into things and be more knowledgeable about things. So I feel like I'll be more comfortable now than yeah. I would have before.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's a lot of little things like that we don't really understand right now. But I think when this all is over, we'll be like, wow,
yeah.
that's awesome. And so God's definitely working through
this.
It's
exciting to think about.
Yeah. It was weird. I had a dream the other day of like going to church. And like, I was like, that's weird. I had a dream of doing something normal. And then I also had a dream the other day of like going back to like the gym, the real gym.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Like, oh, man, that'd be crazy. Dad and I were making a joke the other day saying that we saw people at Results Fitness up the road, which is our little gym that we have here. And because there was like 5 cars out there. So we were like, oh, man, they're working out. We know it. We know they're working out.
Weird. Sounds like it needs to be looked into more.
Yeah, for sure. I'm about to dress up in cleaning gear and I'm going to go see. All right. So let's transition into how freaking powerful our God truly is. I want to make the point, we don't claim to be astrophysicists. We don't claim to right. know everything about space. These are all just, like we said, Sarah said from the beginning, it's just thoughts that we've had and we want to discuss and talk about. And And hopefully it'll make a difference on you guys and get you guys thinking more as well. So I wanted to bring up that God has revealed himself, because I get the question a lot. How do we know God exists? I kind of broke it down into three big ways in his word, even, that we can see. Because he explains it. He explains it all throughout scripture of how he's been revealed. And so Romans 1:20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. And so I love that last part, because they are without excuse. And so I've gotten another question on top of this that I've gotten a lot is like, yeah, but people in other countries and stuff that maybe haven't heard scripture, it's like, no, we know it's built into us that there is a God, but without scripture even, we're without excuse, God says.
Yeah, in mine, I like the wording in my study Bible version. It says, no one, not even one who has not heard the Bible or of Christ, has an excuse for not honoring God, because the whole created world reveals him, which is wild. He's basically like, oh, you haven't heard of me? Take a look outside.
Yeah.
You know I exist.
Look around.
Look around.
Yeah. And then Genesis 1 says, just in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning in the first day. And so, like, this is just such a cool, just excerpt out of Genesis 1. Because this is the creation of the world on Genesis 1. You guys can pick it up right now and read it. And if you even go, I love going into the Hebrew of things, because that's how the Old Testament was written. It was written in Hebrew. And so it's cool to be able to go into, like, what the Hebrew words mean. And so, let there be light is, I believe it's pronounced in Hebrew, that phrase is or. And so it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's which means light of heavenly luminaries, which means moon, sun, stars. So
wait, how do you spell that?
It's O-W-R, so it's actually shorter than you would think.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so I have a Blue Letter Bible. Awesome right there, because it'll show you the Hebrew version of that verse. It's always cool to go into the Hebrew, because that's how we can translate. That's how it was translated. So it's like, man, that's so cool, because we don't want to just trust blindly, right? The words that we're seeing, we also want to know the Hebrew as much as we can. And so Blue Letter Bible shows you the Hebrew of each and every phrase and word. And so you can understand the definition of the words and what in Hebrew it would mean.
Right. Because people are worried about it getting translated so many times that the meanings have changed, but that goes right back to its origin.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty key. This is another question that I've even brought up to myself, is why would the one who created this giant universe want to know and be a part of our lives? And so you kind of went into this too, talking about how Jesus died for our sins and how this was all God's doing. We have the historical evidence even behind Jesus's death and that Jesus walked the earth. And so that's pretty crazy to me too, that we can even look back at history and just see that and know that all this that we have in the Old Testament too, we can look back at historical evidence and find the Hebrew versions of things. Like, that's crazy to me. We can find all of this. This is how it was all translated and how we have this book all together today. So, are you familiar with Hugh Ross?
No, I'm not.
I was watching an interview with him, and he is an astrophysicist, and who originally was an atheist, who didn't really believe in God, and then he read the Bible. So he at the age of 17, so this guy's awesome, very smart, and he started questioning things. So he's always loved space. He's written a lot of books now, I loved this quote from this interview that I was watching, and he said, "For the sake of intellectual honesty, I went through the holy books of the religious of the religions of the world, and there was only one that was accurately predicting the future science and future history before it had even been proven, which is crazy.
I feel like there's a lot of instances like that. Like, if you're too lazy to do the research yourself, just look at him, look at C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
They've all gone through that and came out with the same conclusion.
Yeah, even the other day when I was looking at, like, Mark writing down the scripture after Jesus' death, I was like, oh, man, nobody's thought about this yet? I was like, wait. Lee Strobel's book that I'd already like dug into a little bit, but I haven't fully read yet, is Case for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm digging into it because I'm like, oh, this book's incredible, more incredible than I thought. I'd already bought it years back, but then I like got distracted with other books. And so I was like, okay, all right, now I really need to dig in. But I realized that he had already been through all this. The questions that I was asking in my own head, he was asking to somebody who, so he went up to this professor who had studied the Old Testament and the New Testament and studied the historical evidence behind all of it. And so I was like, I already have this perfect reference in front of me where I can find all of the answers that I was wondering about. And so these books all exist. And that's what's
cool. Someone's already done it.
Yeah, it's like all the questions that pop into my head now, I'm like, nobody's thought about this. It's like, no, everybody, it's all of these questions have already happened because this book has been on trial for its entire life.
Right.
And so there's always been questions that have already been answered. You just have to seek them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that should get in the way of like asking them yourself and wanting to learn from somebody else. But sometimes other people haven't done that research yet. But you can find the answers. You just have to do some digging for sure.
Yeah, and you're really good at doing that. And I oftentimes, now, since you have done so much research, I come to you and ask you questions, and I'm curious what you think and what you found about things. So you've done really good.
Appreciate that.
I like to take a step back because I feel like that's kind of zeroing in on things. Mm-hmm. And I like to take a huge step back and just kind of look at everything as a whole. And what's that YouTube video that we were talking about the other day?
Oh, All Factor.
Yes, the All Factor of God, Francis Chan, does an amazing job at taking a giant step back because he basically starts, it's like Google Maps or something, and he starts like his hometown and then goes, what is it, to like the top of Mount Everest where you can start to see the curvature of the earth.
Yeah.
And he keeps going back and back to the solar system, then the Milky Way galaxy, and then he goes even further to clusters of billions of galaxies. Ours is in there somewhere. And then beyond the clusters of billions of galaxies, he says that scientists think that time and space curves after that, which, what does that mean? I don't know. That like blows my mind. Mm-hmm. But we can't go any further than that. We don't have the ability.
Yeah.
So when you realize that, you just, I personally kind of stop questioning God because his reasoning, his whole self is just beyond our understanding.
Yeah.
We'll never be able to understand.
We can't wrap our heads around every single question fully or it'll drive us crazy.
When I was talking about the podcast earlier, they also went into kind of the universe and how big things are. And how incredible it is that God can care about us and love us. Mm-hmm. And even though we are so small. And he was talking about how God loved you before you loved him. How he loves you when you blow him off. He loved you last weekend when you were out that one night and came back looking not so good. He still loved you.
You're hammered.
You're a mess.
Drunk, yeah.
Yeah, and it's incredible how easy it is for him to love us. Yeah, once you realize that, it makes it a little bit easier to love him as well and want to serve him.
There's always a leap. And so when it comes to the biggest questions in the world,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, but But like, how did we get here? First of all, DNA, RNA, protein, all coming together at once to create us, right? To create everything that we need to run. And I was watching a documentary with Dad the other day because we love our documentaries. Mm-hmm. Sarah doesn't like documentaries as much.
No, I do. Mostly crime ones, though.
Yeah, yeah. You like this? we like digging into the ones with like creation and
yeah.
how we got here. But it was just talking about like, we look at simple animals like the camel, for example. They were invented. They were made to do a certain job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I won't go into too much of it, but they can carry all the water that they need and food, extra food in the humps that they have. So the humps in their back will actually get smaller.
Right.
If they need that storage food, because they're meant to walk around the desert and put a whole bunch of gear on, 400 pounds of gear, without sinking in the sand, because they have webbed hooves so that they don't sink in the sand. Like, there's so many little things that we don't think about. Just walking around, you're like, oh, look at a fish and look at this stuff. And it doesn't mean anything. But it's like, no, all of this means something. Like, this world is crazy. Everything has been put there for a reason. And then it goes off.
Well, I like when you were talking about the camel, you said the camel was invented. Mm-hmm. And I like using that word when talking about, you know, nature and the world, because like who do you, when something's invented, who do you go to understand it? You go back to the inventor and you mm-hmm. ask him questions about how it works, why he created it.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we are, what the world is. And if we have questions about how it works, why it was created, who do we go back to? The inventor, God. And yep. It says it all right here.
That we have to look at the big picture of everything. And even if it comes back to a simple camel, which now Dad and I both look at it like, mm-hmm. wow, that's incredible animal right there. Like mm-hmm. there's so many different parts of it. But even going back to like a dog, for example, it's like, where did that come from? Wolves. And then breaking down those. And then now humans have taken control of that. But it's pretty crazy that no dog is too far off of a wolf. So
yeah,
I
thank God
cool.
for dogs every day.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're a great part of our lives.
I would encourage people to just kind of, I don't know, grab a glass of wine or, you know, whatever and sit there and just kind of think. Just think about how amazing the world is and how amazing God is, and
let the world freeze for a second.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's a lot quieter now during these times, so it's the perfect time to try it.
Take it in. Yeah.
Whatever inspires you.
Yeah.
Even if you have to sit at the top of a cliff and, and look out and just, you know, be in awe,
just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely important, regardless of your religious background. It's just important to think about, what is this world? Are we all just random? Are we all just put here? Nothing made something?
Right. And it is okay to ask the questions. I think sometimes even I, when I start questioning things, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. But no. He wants you to ask the questions.
You have permission from God.
Yeah.
He wants us to wonder and wants us to know and wants us to learn. All of it is a part of his creation. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for hanging out on this Friday morning.
It has been a pleasure, Stephen. Thanks for having me on.
And sorry if you guys heard Frankie walking around in the background, because
the whole time
she did not lay down until right now.
Right now. I know.
So it's all good. But yeah, thanks again for coming.
All right.